This is Pastor Emery. God Almighty promised Father Abraham that his descendants, called Israelites, would be a great number of people, that they would be many nations, that they would be blessed above all other people, and that God would be their God and they would be his people. Is it possible that modern ministers who are looking for the fulfillment of the Abrahamic promises in the Jewish people are looking at the wrong people? Thomas Paine, one of the best-known writers of the American War for Independence, has often been presented to us as an atheist, or at least as one who did not believe the Holy Bible. The charge is only partly true. Thomas Paine did say he thought the Bible to be mostly a book of fables and falsehoods, but the reason he gave for saying that is very enlightening. Thomas Paine had been taught, as have many people today, that the people who call themselves Jews are the Israel people of the Bible. And Thomas Paine said that since he saw no fulfillment of God's promises and prophecies to Israel coming to pass in the Jewish people, he could only conclude that the Bible was mostly fable. Here is a quote from the narrative of our movie, Heirs of the Promise, something which Thomas Paine, as a student of the Bible, would have known. Quote, "The law, the doctrines, the warnings and admonishments are addressed to Israel. All of the prophets are Israelites. All of the writers of both the Old Testament and the New are Israelites. In Amos 3, God said to Israel, 'You only have I known of all the families of the earth.'" Paul wrote of these Israelites in Romans 9:4, quote, "To whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises." End of quote from the movie text. Thomas Paine knew that was in the Bible, and yet he saw none of these things being fulfilled in the Jewish people. And the same is true today. Many people of good intelligence, like Thomas Paine, question the Bible because none of these promises to Israel seem to have been kept by God Almighty. They look to the Jews, and they see no many nations. They see no increase in numbers. In fact, from the Bible itself, we can estimate that there were more Israelites living in David's kingdom 3,000 years ago than there are Jews in all the world today. As to God blessing them, if you believe the Jews are Israelites, and if you believe that all who do not confess Jesus Christ as their Savior go to a burning hell when they die and are there tortured for eternity, why then you must believe that almost all Israelites who have died since Christ are now screaming in the flames of hell. Not much of a fulfillment of a promise of blessing, is it? So let us return to our narrative of the movie, Heirs of the Promise, for in it is correctly identified the race of Israel. And we will see that God Almighty has not forgotten his people. He has kept his covenants to Abraham. Last week I had read in the narrative up to the division of the kingdom after David and Solomon, the carrying off of most of the Israelites to Assyria, 7 centuries before Christ, as recorded in 2 Kings 16, 17, and 18, then the 70-year Babylonian captivity of the remnant of Judah, and the return of less than 50,000 Israelites to Jerusalem a little over 400 years before Christ, as recorded in Ezra and Nehemiah. As the movie states, the number of Israelites carried captive out of ancient Palestine would have been in the millions, yet the Bible records that less than 50,000 were returned. These 50,000, of course, would have been the ancestors of the small Israelite community that existed in Palestine when Jesus was born. Mary and Joseph and the disciples came from that remnant. Now, let us resume the movie text here. Quote, "But what happened to the other tens of millions of Israelites who never returned to Jerusalem? Are their descendants lost from the covenant promises of God?" We must now ask the same question Paul asked 500 years later in Romans 11, hath God cast away his people? Paul answers, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. So the question boils down to this. What did happen to the millions, yes, millions of Israelites, who were driven out of Palestine 700 years before Christ, and where were they, if they existed at all, at the time Paul uttered his statement of confidence in God keeping his promises to Israel? Can we find out what happened to them so that their descendants can be identified in the world today? For an answer to that question, we are going to call upon E. Raymond Capp, a Bible student and biblical archaeologist from California. Mr. Capp has traveled and studied extensively in Europe and the Mideast. He lectures on the Dead Sea Scrolls, on the pyramids of Egypt, and on other Bible archaeological subjects. And at this point in the movie, we then show an interview with E. Raymond Capp at his home in Camarillo, California. Here is my question to him. As a minister, I know there is an abundance of prophecy concerning the destiny of Israel, but there is no Bible history of this portion of Israel referred to in 2 Kings 17:6. In the ninth year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. So Bible history of this major part of Israel ends here, and yet the prophets and the New Testament promise an increase in numbers, great blessings, and an eventual restoration. With the passing of 2,500 years since this Assyrian captivity, one might think that all hope of tracing these Israelites is lost. Ray, can archaeology answer this question? Mr. Capp begins his answer, yes, Pastor Emery, it has. Mr. Capp then describes in the movie, in some detail, the tablets recently found by archaeologists in ancient Assyria. Mr. Capp points out that these records of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, do not call the Israelites by the name of Israel, but instead call them Gomera, which was the Assyrian name for Samaria, the capital city of the conquered Israel nation. Mr. Capp then goes on, quote, we find in another and later Assyrian tablet that in the second year of the reign of this same king, which would be about 679 B.C., the Gomera, under a leader named Tespa, sought freedom by moving north, but the Assyrian army pursued and defeated them in the upper Euphrates district. Nevertheless, they reported a large number of these Israelites escaped to the shores of the Black Sea. The Greeks also record the same activity, including an invasion of Sardis, the capital of Lydia, in 645 B.C. In the Greek records, they refer to the Gomera as Kimeroi, which we translate into English as Cimmerian. About 600 B.C., the Lydians drove the Gomera, or Cimmerians, out of Asia Minor, where they settled in the Carpathian regions west of the Black Sea. We now also know what happened to the larger body of Gomera, or Israelites, who did not escape the Assyrians. They formed an alliance with Esarhaddon the king when he came under attack of the Medes and the Persians. This treaty allowed the Israelites to establish colonies in Sakhalin in the north and Bactria in the east near the Caspian Sea. Assyria fell in 612 B.C. Soon the Israelites themselves came under attack by the Medes. Now those that had settled in Sakhalin moved north to the Darial Pass of the Caucasus into the steppe region of South Russia. There they became known by the Greek name Scythians. The Israelites that had settled in Bactria were forced north and east, and in the records of the Persians, they are called Massagete and Seca. Archaeology has solved two of the greatest archaeological problems. First, what happened to the hundreds of thousands of Israelites who disappeared south of the Caucasus, and second, what was the origin of the Sumerians and the mysterious tribes known as Scythians who suddenly appeared north of the Caucasus, both at the same time in history. They were one and the same people. They were Israelites. Now may I point out what the Bible has to say concerning Israel. Amos 9, verse 9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Our history books pick up the story at this point, recording the westward migrations of the Scythians as they came into collision with the Sumerians, who had earlier settled west of the Black Sea. Their kinship lost over the centuries, the ensuing battles forced the Sumerians west and north, where they were known as the Celts, Gauls, and Cimbri. By the end of the 4th century B.C., the Scythians had established themselves in the great and prosperous kingdom of Scythia. Later, Sarmatians, and these were a mixed, non-Israelitish people of Iranian origin, in turn drove the Scythians northwest to the shores of the Baltic Sea. At this time in history, we find the Romans introduced the name Germans in place of the name Scythians in order not to confuse the Scythians with the Sarmatians who now occupied Scythia. Germanus, being the Latin name for genuine, indicates the Germans were the genuine Scythians or Israelites. During this time, the Celts were expanding in all directions from Central Europe. Some of the Celts invaded Italy and sacked Rome in 390 B.C. Another group moved back into Asia Minor in 280 B.C., and the Greeks called them Galatians, as they did another group of Celts that had settled in Gaul or modern France. This also indicates that Paul's letters to the Galatians were written to his kinsmen Israelites, or at least descendants of the earlier Galatians. Some of the Celts moved into Spain and became known as Iberus, the Gaelic name for Hebrews. Others poured into Britain to form the bedrock of the British race. Later, the Iberus moved into Ireland as Scots and later into northern Britain to establish the nation of Scotland. Your history books also record the Germanic tribes breaking up into many divisions, the Angles, the Saxons, Jutes, Danes, and Vikings, to name just a few. Other Germanic tribes later poured into the lands vacated by the Celts and established the Gothic nations of the Vandals, Lombards, Franks, Burgundians, and others. The so-called lost tribes of Israel really were never lost. They only lost their identity as they migrated westward over the centuries from the land of their captivity. End of quote from E. Raymond Capp, archaeologist, in describing the Israelites leaving Assyria. At that point in the movie, the narrative continues. And there you have it, my friends. Mr. Capp has given us an answer to our question, what happened to the millions of Israelites who were dispersed out of old Canaan land 7 centuries before Christ and who never returned? The answer, they migrated onto the continent of Europe and were the ancestors of the white European race. And in answering our one question about Israel's disappearance, Mr. Capp has given us the key to several other mysteries of world history. Mr. Capp has revealed to us why it was these people of Europe who became the great nations, and who were blessed by God above all other nations, not only with fertile land and abundance from the seas, but with arts, science, literature, inventions, and discovery. God bestowed upon that one race almost every invention and discovery that has improved man's condition and lot upon the earth. Certainly, God made these offspring of Abraham a blessing to all the families of the earth. Mr. Capp has answered another question, which is often asked of ministers and seldom answered. Why, of all the people of the earth, has it been only this white Caucasian race, these so-called Gentiles, who have claimed Jesus Christ as their God and who have taken the Bible as the foundation of their religion. The answer, the truth which is avoided and even denied by the clergy, is simple. These people are the Israelites, the children of Abraham, God's chosen people. And that explains why every true gospel preacher and missionary for Jesus Christ for over 1900 years has been of this one race. They are dispersed Israel, fulfilling Bible prophecy even while blindness in part is upon them, blindness of their own identity as the chosen Israel of God. Biblical promises have become historical facts. In the Old Testament, God had promised to regather divorced Israel unto Himself. Ezekiel 34, verses 6 and 11, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." Jesus Christ made it plain He was the instrument of Israel's return to God. Luke 19:10, He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." In Matthew 15:24, Jesus answered and said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In Matthew 10 and verse 6, Jesus instructed His disciples to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Luke 1, Zacharias the priest, who was John the Baptist's father, said that Jesus came to redeem His people and to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham. Paul, an Israelite, wrote to Israelites in the dispersion in Galatia, in Galatians 4 and verse 4 and 5, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." Only the Israelites were under God's law. In Romans 15 and verse 8 we read, "Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." These promises, as we have seen, were of great national development, a great increase in numbers, blessings of the earth and of the sea, that God would be their God and they would be His people. After the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, His disciples carried that good news to dispersed Israel in Europe, beginning what we know as the Christian era. For 1,500 more years, Israel remained in Europe, continuing to grow in numbers as God had promised their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then God began to give them inventions, one of which was the printing press, which made the Bible available to all of the people, bringing with it the Age of Enlightenment, the Reformation, and the Age of Discovery. A new continent to the west, a new world, was discovered by Columbus and other explorers. Persecution of Christians in Europe began a migration to the new world that began as a trickle and later became a flood. 2,500 years before, while Israel was still in Palestine, God had told King David in 2 Samuel 7:10, "I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more." The prophet Isaiah and others who had written of Israel's regathering made it plain Israel would be regathered into a new land as Christian believers. In Isaiah 11:12 we read, "And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Verse 1 through 10 identify that ensign as Jesus Christ, and verse 14 indicates their regathering would be toward the west. Psalm 72 and Zechariah 9 describe that land of Israel's regathering as a land between two seas, and one that would run to the ends of the earth. In Hosea 2:14, God prophesied to cast off Israel, Behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Our Pilgrim Fathers, who were Christian Israelites from Europe and who knew God's promises, called this North American continent the wilderness and New Canaan land. They said they had come hither to establish the kingdom of God. God turned Israel from Antichrist in Europe, and God brought them one of a city and two of a family, and he brought them to Zion. As he said in Jeremiah 3:14-15, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. In America's early histories, they called themselves this wandering race of Jacobites, a vine out of Egypt, and the seed of Abraham. They named their children with Israel names, and God blessed them above their fathers in Europe. America is that land, new Israel. America is the nation born in a day, on July 4, 1776, exactly the prophesied 2,520 years after Israel had gone into the Assyrian captivity. In America, God fulfilled Isaiah 60:22, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. It is here that is fulfilled Deuteronomy 33:13, the promise to Joseph, blessed of the Lord be his land. It is in America that Isaiah 35 is fulfilled. The wilderness and the solitary place was glad for them, and the desert rejoiced and blossomed as the rose. It is in this North American wilderness that waters have broken out and streams in the desert. America is Hephzibah and Beulah land. America truly is God's country. The heathen look at America and say, certainly, they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed, Isaiah 49:6. America is the nation from which the light of God's word has gone to the ends of the earth. You who are descendants of the people we have traced in the Bible and in history are Israelites, heirs according to the promise, and the Bible is about you and your race. Do not take what you have heard lightly. True to his promise to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel has redeemed us with his own blood. He has kept his word to our fathers. He will most certainly keep his promise with us, their children, of the kingdom of Jesus Christ upon the earth. I believe the time has come when God is casting down all lies, exposing the false prophets, and revealing the truth to his Israel people. The key to understanding the Bible is the truth that we are Israelites, redeemed by Jesus Christ, heirs of the promise, Abraham's children. This is Pastor Emery. In the last two broadcasts, you have heard most of the narrative of our 42-minute sound and color movie. The movie demonstrates the truth that we Anglo-Saxon and kindred peoples of Europe are the true descendants of Israel, and that North America is the land of Israel's regathering. Today, the great Israel nation of America is surrounded and invaded by the red communist antichrist forces of Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 38:39, as God gathers the nations of the earth for the battle of Armageddon. The wicked of the earth, who are the enemies of Jesus Christ, have grown strong and arrogant in this Israel land. They have infiltrated our schools, the news media, even churches and government, in their attempt to keep you in ignorance of your identity as Israelites. They are attempting to steal your heritage that they may conquer America and take rule over the whole earth. But God Almighty has decreed the destruction of those who hate Jesus Christ and his true Israel people. In the last battle they shall be defeated, we shall be delivered, and the earth will be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ and the great kingdom age. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for America, Israel.